You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Across the Desk
with Clement Maniatela
on 702.
So on Across the Desk this morning, we are wrapping up Heritage Month. Yeah, this is the last day of September. And wrapping up Heritage Month, we're doing it on a musical note. Music and culture are an important part of our heritage and they influence each other. And I want us to look at how music has changed as culture and language has evolved over time. Because when you look at it, music has actually shaped cultures. It's shaped societies as well around the world. And we have such a distinctive texture in our African music. And that's largely due to the variety of cultures that also produce that music. Because as a continent with the many regions, the nations, the groups, that's why we end up with our music so rich, so diverse, and I don't think you can compare anything to our African music. And I'm so glad that I'm having this conversation with two people who understand music and particularly African music. We've got Richard Mwamba, 702 presenter. We had him the last time, and in fact, after we had that conversation, I thought it would be worth bringing him back so that we can continue it on this note and look at the culture that's evolved, the languages, and what the influence has been on music. So, Richard, thank you so much for coming back. Good morning.
Good morning, and I'm so glad that you have Dr. Sillo Halan as well.
Yes.
To speak about the the academic side of it.
Yeah.
I will speak the layman's language.
Yeah.
And you'll speak the academic.
Leonard, language. Yeah.
So the erudition will come out from him. Don't expect it from me.
you gave it to us the last time yourself. So, Dr. Sillo Halani, thank you. He's a jazz musician. You know he knows music so much. Thank you for making time as well, Dr. Halani.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. So, should we start with a song first or get into it already?
It'd be nice to start with a song.
Yeah, so that we lay the foundation, right? So, Abel, yeah, let's start with a song and then we're going to pick it up from there. If you've got some thoughts about our culture, our heritage, and what the influence has been on music and vice versa, you can send me a WhatsApp voice note on 0727021702. You can call me on 0118830702. And maybe you have a song in mind that best describes really what we're talking about. A song that plays and to you, it just tells you in detail about the culture and heritage of a particular region, of a particular country. We'll take those calls and WhatsApp voice notes as well. Hit me. So this is Tunula Eno by Samite in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the song.
Well, this tells you that sometimes when it comes to music, you don't have to really understand what the lyrics are about. The music itself catches you.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about music which it's unique to music. One of the reasons I've mentioned this so many times why we have national anthems is that people go to war and even get prepared to die because of music. And people who are discouraged or don't have the energy, the music would give them the energy. You know, your Shosholoza, you know, these songs that we were worker songs. That when you you're working and you're doing all this, but before it's so hard to do that hard labor, but because of the music, it propels you, it gives you the fuel that you need to do hard tasks, to cope with very troublesome anxieties and things so on.
Yeah.
Remember when we still had the death penalty in this country. What would happen before the people are executed?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the night, they will sing. It will give them the courage to face that I'm actually going to die tomorrow.
Sure.
So that's how powerful
and
music
that's the power
is.
Of music. Dr. Halani, I mean, let's talk about how, you know, then the culture influences the music. Because often when you hear, you know, music, it tells a story about the heritage, about the culture of the people.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one, that one, because number one, you have to talk about, you know, economic communities, because then once you start deep rural, the acoustics are totally different, because then it is more the purpose of the music,
wow,
and the effect of the music.
Mm.
on the everyday life of a people.
Mm.
And it is music, then in those contexts, it's a way of life. It's not an add-on.
Wow.
It's not an aesthetic that you land on to so that you look good.
Mm.
You wake up with a song, you sleep with a song.
Uh-huh.
At any time of the day, you work with a song,
mm.
as Brother Richard was saying. You whatever you do, it's a medium of communication in itself,
mm.
other than it using language as a medium as well.
Mm.
So it's a much more all-encompassing medium, because then it encompasses, you know. It's very interesting that when you live in those contexts and you do not have a car,
mm.
the types of songs that you compose when you are a pedestrian are different types of songs when you drive.
Mm.
Because when you're a pedestrian, as you walk, the footprints add to the rhythmic mm. mix mm. of your heart and the soundscape around you.
Mm.
And you then get rooted in terms of how the rhythms of the song are composed. But the more you move into the higher economies, then it is the material, it is of the dominant economic culture
mm.
that shapes the direction of the music.
Mm.
Because
mm.
the acoustics change, then the dictates of the economies require that you have access to studio, you have access to this technology. Otherwise, it does not have the requisite impact in a competitive world.
Mm.
But out there, it doesn't have to hit you and shake you from your comfort. It's got to blend
mm.
with your immediate environment on daily basis.
Oh, mm. I like that. Mm. I like. So would you then say that when you look at what the economy dictates, requiring that you go into studio, does that dilute music in a sense, or there's still a space for that? It's just that it's different when you do it in that other place.
The difference you will not pick,
yeah,
if you are not an audio neurologist,
mm.
because there's adverse impact of high kilojoules and ambiances on your system,
mm.
you know, as opposed to very laid back, you know, acoustics
mm.
in a natural environment that will never be higher than amplitude required by your own ear.
Mm.
So in that case, the shock levels to your system are completely different.
Yeah.
So I talked about the competitive nature in the cities, but I also talk about what then the demands are for radio and so on. And then you sit here and then you want to play the song and you say, no, I remember there's somebody competing with me on the mm. audience.
Mm. Yeah.
Now the purpose becomes totally different.
Absolutely.
It's a song that hits and gets you the listenership
mm.
quickly and now, mm. as opposed to at home. The song could be how it sounds, how dreary,
mm.
but for the purpose for which it is meant,
mm.
it is a perfect song.
Yeah, mm. you see, I told you that he's going to speak the academic language.
The language.
So now let me talk. Let me explain it well in my layman's language. I think what makes you are talking about culture.
Mm.
It's very difficult when a society is not homogenous.
Yeah.
And maybe it's easy to talk about a country like Eswatini,
mm.
Lesotho, where small countries where they've got the same language, the same cultures, things that aspire them is the same.
Yeah.
It's much far more complex when it comes to a country like South Africa,
mm-hmm.
or Nigeria for that matter,
mm-hmm.
Countries that are very populous and they've got people come from different backgrounds, even different religious beliefs.
Mm.
So that makes it even more complex when it comes to culture. Nevertheless, what really we call culture is what is popular among the people. In other words, what it is that
informs you and I in terms of what we like.
Yeah.
Why do we like the music of Bra Jonas Gwangwa, for instance, or Bra Hugh Masekela? It's because there's something common about it. Either the language that we share is the same, or we enjoy the beat that comes from that. But it also starts from one person composing a song, say, Tswang, for instance, this traditional Sesotho song, this wedding song, and so, whenever we're going to have a wedding, this is a song that's going to accompany my wedding. So it becomes a culture that whenever there's a wedding, then people are going to play that wedding song. But it starts with somebody. Once it becomes popular, then we incorporate it as part of our culture.
I remember you mentioned the last time when I played, remember when we played Kajanin, when we had a conversation and we spoke about Swahili. And I want you to explain that again, of how that became almost like the musical language. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you said it's not even, it was more a combination of the different, you know, languages and influences, and then musicians started picking it up.
Yes. So normally what would happen, when Kiswahili number one is the lingua franca of commerce in the East and Central Africa.
Yeah.
It has been there for maybe as far back as 1,000 years, because Arabs and Indians and Africans have been trading on the coast along Zanzibar up to Mombasa in Kenya and so on. So they needed to invent a language through which they would be able to do trade. Sell ivory, sadly also, it meant also selling human beings, slavery, and so on and so on. So that in itself, and then of course the people every now and then, in between whatever they're doing, whether they're buying or selling, they needed to be entertained. And people, and of course in that part of the world, been mostly Muslim influenced, the inflection in the music, if you know anything about Tarab music, would carry that rhythm or the Tarab sound that is informed by Muslim, by Islam. So people who then, it was no longer now doing something religious, but something secular, but still, you could hear that this is a person who, because of his religious beliefs, still sings as somebody who's calling people to worship, even though he's singing about, a secular matter like love and so on and so on. And of course, there's some things that, I always say this on radio, that when it comes to Tarab music, men were not meant to know about these things, that sometimes they would use that to advise the young bride that on your first night, because you are not, experienced, you never had sexual relations.
Yeah.
So the women would gather together and they have these body songs. And the word body isn't B-A-W-D-Y, body, meaning very risky songs about what to do, giving advice to the bride. So the men were not supposed to know about these things.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the men are the ones who used to play the musical instruments. So they became privy to the secrets.
That's a nice one.
That's a very interesting part about it. I have actually debunked this whole thing in one of my writings about this is a woman's ensemble, this is a man's ensemble. I say no, it's not true. For example, in Kiba music, they say dinaka, you know, dinaka ke chaban. But who are the maestros of dramas? Are women. In those outfits. They're women.
Yeah.
Women are the ones who know how to play there's Hokolu, there's Matikwani, and then there is this one which is called Khalapedi. But a derivative of the name, it would be called Poisele, because it's a corruption of poison, because When men moved from premier mines and they left with big containers, took them to Polokwane in the deep rural areas, they would have petrol or oil or something inside. And they say, do not lick, because that's poison. A drum made of that container was then called poisele from that. But when men do dinaka, it's an ensemble where one note flute. It's actually blown to create one long melody. If there are 15 men, each one in that melody will play one note of the melody. Now, this is what we call solidarity building and communality.
Mm.
Because here you can take a flute and play the full melody alone.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a saxophone and play the or piano. But there, it's similar to when men meet mohoro, you know, in a formal setting of decision making. You say one word, you pass it to the next, right up to the last person.
Mm.
The answer comes in the same manner mm-hmm. to the first person.
Mm.
So everybody participates. Nobody is a passenger
mm.
in the construction of a of solutions on disputes that
mm.
confront society
mm.
or the community there. So similarly, in the music making, mm. the construction is that you play one note.
Mm-hmm.
If I say pe, he must say pe, 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 pe. Now listen to that. To that.
That's a melody.
Yeah. Each one plays one note, but the melody is actually. But each person plays one note of the entire melody.
Yeah.
So this individualism, it's not encouraged.
Mm.
That's when the idiom that says, I am because you are,
mm.
becomes more practical.
Mm.
Because otherwise, here, because of a competitive world, and I've got to pay people, and I don't have money to pay 15 people, so I can sit down and play that melody alone
mm.
on the grounds of the dictates of economics.
Mm.
But if people would still be available to do it for the purpose of music making, so that we then have, and for purposes of identity, mm. solidarity, and communality,
mm.
and not for economic survival,
mm.
then we would each be calling each other
yeah.
to make music together all the time.
I mm. like that. And I want us to explore more after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. And I see your WhatsApps coming through, 0727021702. You can share with us if there's a specific song that when it plays, you do think that it actually celebrates our culture, it celebrates our heritage. What is it? And if you've got some questions for my guests, Richard Mwamba and Dr. Sillo Kgalane, you're welcome to send a voice note or send me or give me a call on 011-883-0702.
Across the Desk
with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
It's 25 minutes before 11 o'clock, and on Across the Desk this morning, we are wrapping up Heritage Month on a musical note. I've got Richard Mwamba, 702 presenter. We've got Dr. Sillo Kgalane, who's a jazz musician. And I'm actually going to play one of his songs now, and then go to your calls on 011-883-0702. We're talking about music, right? And culture as an important part of our heritage and how they influence each other. And I've been sitting here learning so much about music from these two men. So let's play this song by Dr. Sillo Kgalane, and then I'm going to go straight to your calls and WhatsApps. It's 23 before 11. So this one is Bajonzekile.
It means they're educated.
Oh, they're educated. So, 21 years of the song, yeah?
Yes.
Jeez, that's incredible. And what was the thought process when you were making this melody?
Because I was taught deep, you know, music by mothers.
Yeah.
And every time they taught me so much, I actually realized that they're actually more educated than I am. They're actually more learned
yeah.
than I am, because the construction of these rhythms that are so polyrhythmic in this song.
Yeah.
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 1, 2. It's all combined together. And it gives you this polyrhythm. So, and if mothers can do that while talking to a child, while talking to members of the community, while carrying a child
while
on their
cooking,
back, while but at the same time playing the rhythm and sticking to the part of the polyrhythm that is assigned to that one mother, and another one is playing another part assigned to her, and nobody gets, you know, shaky in terms of rhythmic structure and tension. then you realize, ah, but you're on the key.
The one thing about education,
yeah,
especially when it comes to these things, it's funny that the more you're exposed to, you know, I like what Dr. Sulo Khalan is saying. If this is a PhD man,
mm-hmm,
who has got a PhD, not an honorary doctorate, yeah, this PhD.
Yeah.
Now, and for him to say that the math is no more or better than him, that tells you.
Yeah.
The more you learn is the more. I spent about 6 years at Vets University reading for 2 different masters. I never got any of them.
Yeah.
Because the more I got access to the books and the more I knew how little I knew.
Yeah.
So I spent all those years reading. The more you read is the more you understand. You think, oh my goodness, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's so much I don't know. Yeah. You're even scared of saying, I went to university because people think you know so much.
When you've been there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, let's take Lisibe, who's calling us from Ekurhuleni. Lisibe, good morning.
Hey,
it's either show live and direct from Ekurhuleni. Sure.
Yes, and good morning to Mr. Tevalani and Mr. Richard Mwamba.
Mm.
You know, I once attended the live show when the Tevalani was performing.
Yeah.
And he was performing his keyboard music, the drums, the way that he was moving, especially with the, I'm not sure if it is Hokon or the bigger one where it was speaking, and the ladies were just performing. He took me to some other place where I cannot even explain.
Mm.
I wish you could attend one of his last performances and you would feel what, more or less what I was feeling.
Yeah, no. Abel was telling me that he attended. When was it, Abel? How many? 2001. Yeah. Yo. Abel tells me that he attended in around 2001, one of his shows. Wow. Lisibe, thank you so much for calling about that. Jeremy, you're calling us from Johannesburg. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to your guest.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just was just telling your producers, whenever I hear the song from Mango Groove, Special Stars, it just makes me feel like I'm at home, because it just sounds South African.
Yeah, and that's a song that's amazing. In fact, I think Abel wants to dedicate it to you, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you.
What's interesting, Mr. Richard Mwamba, is we were talking earlier about the amalgamation of these different cultures, and maybe this is actually one of the best examples of that.
Absolutely. Claire Johnson, born in England, brought up in South Africa, and she, you can tell that she fell in love with Mpatanga. You know, you can tell this. You don't have to be a PhD like him to understand this is a South African song.
Yeah.
The song itself tells you. It's rooted in South Africa, Mpatanga, and so on and so on. So that tells you how we consume culture, that sometimes we, in her case, she would sing in English. The song is sung in English, but still typical South African song without Mpatanga. It's exactly what we're talking about here, how sometimes we say this is what we're going to identify as South Africans, this kind of music.
Yeah.
So literally, that's what culture is. Yeah. And I'm so glad that Mango Groove did this, where, especially during apartheid, you know, where they brought the black community and the white community together by playing this kind of music. So literally, that's how culture became
instrumental in uniting people.
Yeah. And you spoke earlier about individualism and how that's not how you want to do music. You want to also have these different cultures, these different stakeholders create this one musical, amazing, magical thing.
Yeah, it would be a travesty today if we live here without really saying what Ngugi says culture is.
Yeah.
Ngugi says culture is a way of life. And that's how the simplest definition, but the most profound. It's a way of life. And then what is music? Music is learned behavior. And I remember when I obtained my master's degree and SAFM called me and then they wanted me to talk to them about you know, music, and you know, and they wanted to.
Don't mention SFM here.
Yeah, we do. We do.
I'm kidding.
That's how confident
I love,
we are.
I love SFM.
and they wanted me to make a comment about what I had.
I just couldn't
formally, what I had formally studied versus Kwaito at the time, and I said no, but music, it's learned behavior. If members of a community agree on rules of interaction and interpretation of a given communicative event, that is communication, and that is music. So if young boys, Mashamplan, Trompis, and all of that were to do what Claire did, and it's not part of their everyday lived experience, it would sound forced. It is going to sound forced. But these young folks started something that comes from real, authentic, lived experience and learned behavior of how they live in the township. And it sounded so legit.
And it's natural.
Even if we didn't know what it was, and then they called it Kwaito, we just blended
That's so
into
interesting.
It.
Yesterday I was hosting Mdu Masilela.
Yes.
I mean, one of the pioneers of the Kwaito music.
Yes.
And I was telling him how I find it fascinating when I look at the lyrics of some of the Kwaito songs. It's literally a way of life. Mm. They're just talking about how they're living.
Precisely.
And it becomes a hit. And that's what he said. Kwaito was a way of life in the townships.
And the elements of the elements of that music, it's something that even current music theory has not captured. I mean, these boys walk into, they meet a man and say,
That's a hit.
That.
I said to you, I could go in studio and record. Where were you yesterday? Bongo B. Hey, that's a hit.
But also, that tells you, you know, it's only now that music is commodified in Africa. Before, which is why we talk about traditional music. There's no such thing as traditional music. It's our definition of the music that was started by somebody and then became the music of the community. Because it had no monetary value at first. So I would start a song and then you'd come and what you call add a few words here and there. And then it became our song as opposed to... Yeah. Which is why, even going back to Ntswang, 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 you know, this song. And I remember talking to Brazix Mdai, and I said, hey, but Jimmy Mujapelo has said that he composed the song. No, he didn't. He may have added a few lyrics here and there, but he didn't. It wasn't started by him. So literally, this thing of music became communal. It's a human being thing. Now, of course, because there are royalties, we have to say this is the composer and so on and so on. Now, because there's monetary value to it. Otherwise, before, people wouldn't care about who started it. It became our music.
I like that. It's 12 minutes before 11.
Cross the Desk
with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
10 minutes before 11 o'clock. I'm having fun in studio and learning so much about music, right? The heritage, the culture. And just how most of the music that you listen to is really an amalgamation of the different cultures. I've got your WhatsApps coming on 0727021702.
Hey, morning, Clement. Wow. This segment of your, closing of a heritage, this music, a musical segment of yours, of soothing, Clement. You know, there's vast artists anyway. Lot of artists that take us places, you know, take me places, you know, culturally. You know, the late Busim Hlongo, my goodness, the late Sibongile Khumalo, you know, now Thandiswa Mazwai, you know, Silaelo, Mamle Tambuli, Kaifa, the list puts the Kenisi, Clement, oh my gosh, wow, what a beautiful segment, you know, a lovely one. Yeah? Thank you for such a piece, you know. All right then, yeah? Bye.
Bye-bye.
Morning, Clement. Great show as always. I would like to ask your guest, what is the difference between xylophone and our African marimba? Thanks, Dima.
Difference between xylophone and marimba.
There's no difference. Mm-mm. There's no difference whatsoever. It's just that they are called differently. In West Africa, they're called balafone. And xylophones, and we call them marimbas, the same family of musical instruments.
Here's another
voice.
Here's the answer. Yeah.
Good morning, Clement. Thanks for the beautiful show as usual. As we talk about music, culture, can I take this opportunity to pay tribute to Sipho Gumede? There are many other artists, jazz artists, that have sadly passed on. But I just want to make a special tribute or pay a special tribute to Sipho Gumede, who I feel his life was clipped at a very young age. And a song that stands out for me from him is "When Times Are Dark, Friends Are Few." Thank you, Clement.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for paying tribute to Sipho Gumede. Someone else says, Clement, for me, it's got to be Vusima Hlasela as well with Shilang Mabele and Sibongile Khumalo with Uyakai. Here's another voice note.
Morning, Clement, the team. Hello, Richard Mwamba. The song for me that reminds me the most about Richard Mwamba and that he introduced me to, and once in a while it just starts playing in my head, is a song called Salala or Lanitra Manga Manga from Malaga.
Love it.
He introduced me to that song, and I think for the first 2 months I used to just play it more than once a day, every day. It's T in Pretoria. So please, 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 at the end of the show, if you can play Salala or Lanitra Manga Manga. Richard Mwamba knows the song. It's also called the Sky Song from Madagascar.
Love it.
You're
love
doing
it.
Great job, Richard, by the way.
Samba tau itu niwa ma rafia sunani tane nisi sanopaniri nariantna nadi adi na tau fai samba tau itu niwa rafia sunani tane. Nisi salon paniri nariyana, na izao na yana,
yeah, no, I'm a big fan of, look at their album.
Oh,
I had your show one day on a weekend, and I got this album, and I listened to it almost all the time at the gym.
The live version is even better than this.
Yes.
Where you get the children and all the members of the community singing along. Yeah. Some of them, mind you, they may not understand Antandroi, even within Madagascar. You know, because Antandroi is spoken by, you know, people in the western part of Madagascar.
Yeah.
Some of them may be singing, speaking Kasagalava or Merina. But they love the song so much that they know the lyrics without understanding what the lyrics
are. I have no idea what they're saying.
So that's the magic of music, really, that you don't have to understand to appreciate it.
Yeah, Dr. Sello Kamogelo in Boksburg says, good day, Clement. I'm a huge fan of Dr. Sello Kgalane. Songs like Motsi, Mkholokwane, Sibodu Samo, Mashela, and Pula. Please can you ask him why his music is so hard to find? It's not on Spotify and other online platforms, and I've tried to get his discs as well.
Ha 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 ha!
We're only human. We're only human.
That's fine. Ask Dr. Silla. He's tried to get your discs and it has been difficult to find them. Can you respond to that?
No, indeed. Indeed. You see, I am one of those who believe that we must get our act right as a country. It's not about me. It's not about me being on Spotify, on this, that. But as a country, we've got to get our act together. Where we'd need to have our own platforms that on which we can put music. And that's why I started with the whole power dynamics perspective at the beginning.
Yes.
Because it is the one that pervades this economic dictates and so on. What people do not understand is that if you put your music on a platform that is owned elsewhere outside your country, there is a lot of other people who piggyback on that platform, and you have no power. If you have to take that mighty colossus to court now, where do you start? Who are you litigating against? And that's the thing, and I am one of those that are still pushing that South Africa or Africa should have a platform of its own.
Yeah.
Where look what happened to us during COVID. R1, Brother Richard Mwamba, goes 17 times, 18 times into a dollar. You want to buy a track, my track, for R4.30. You can't break $1 down to R4.30. R4.30 is below a dollar by 3-4. It means the whole world takes it for free.
Yeah.
And you think you're happening. And you're not happening. And what do you do now to push the currency of your own country to 1-on-1 with a dollar? To extend that, if you sell it for R4.50, it's actually $4.50. So otherwise, it's for free, and people think they are selling, but they're not selling.
Is there any way they can find it now? Are you performing live soon somewhere?
Yeah, I am performing. I just did two other shows. But I'm on the 29th of November. Pula Festival will be part of the Joy of Jazz.
Where is it?
Yes!
The Joy of Jazz, Central Convention Center.
I think I'm invited as well.
We are invited. We are the media partners.
Yeah.
So we will be there. Thank you.
So he'll be selling his music there.
Yes. Please, come through, get your tickets to the Joy of Jazz. It's going to be fun. Dr. Silo Kgalane, Richard Mwamba, thank you. This has been amazing.
Thank you. And it's Mwamba.
Mwamba.
Not Noa. Mwamba. Mwana.
Mwamba. And I think you told me this the last time.
No, that's okay. I think I might as well change my surname to Mwamba.
Mwamba.
And to make life easier.
Mwamba.
It's supposed to be Mwamba.
Mwamba.